This morning we're going to look at Psalm 127. Would you please turn there as I read it? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Very interesting psalm. The occasion is Solomon building the temple, the house of God. And so that's why this psalm was written. The subject is the vanity of life apart from God, that whatever we do apart from him is the spinning of our wheels and is futility and total vanity. Now the activity in the psalm is the fact of building a house, building a city, and building a family. And the futility of hard work without relying on the Lord. Verse 2, he says, it's vain to you to rise up early and sit up late and be involved in this feverish activity without depending on the Lord. Now, we're going to examine the truth in verses 3 to 5. As you read this psalm about the building, at first glance, looking at verse 3 seems like a change of subject. And you would want to say to the author, what's happening here? It doesn't seem to fit, but it really does. So what the author is saying, he's talking about building a house, building a city, in verses 3 to 5, building a family, as he brings up the fact of children and arrows and so on. So let's think about that together. Building a family apart from the Lord is absolutely futile and in vain. And this psalm teaches us that building a family includes training, guiding, directing, and then launching as arrows. In looking at the city, he says it's guarding that city, trying to protect it, and providing for it without the Lord is in vain. So as we are involved in family life, we are to be aware and alert as to what is happening. Now, when we have children, what can parents do for children? When we're talking up through 10 or whatever age, the main thing is that parents provide for children a home of peace and security. Interesting that educators say that one half of all that is learned during a whole lifetime is learned by the age of 3. And I was thinking about Britain and about David and about all children. One half of all they are going to learn is by the age of 3. They are absorbing it so much And so we provide for children an atmosphere of peace and security. Fay and I think of people we know where the home has not been peace and security. We have known couples who yell. They yell at each other. They yell at their kids. It's an atmosphere of hostility, and it affects the children very deeply. Now, when they are young people or youth, parents provide a haven of protection and provision for young people. Interesting here that verse 4, the author says that children or young people are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So if you're going to study or think about this psalm, you have to think about, well, how are arrows like children? Arrows have to be very carefully made, very carefully weighted, just that is the weight, very evenly distributed, very, very important how they are made. Now, and they have to be molded and shaped just exactly. And so they're like children. That's what we need to do with them. And arrows must be aimed precisely. We have to have an aim and a target for our families. And that target is biblical. And the instruction is, it's spiritual maturity. That's the aim of the Christian life. Now, Paul talks about that in Ephesians, that the goal, what we are looking at, what we are going toward, is spiritual maturity. That's the target. That's the only acceptable target. Now, you could say a lot of things about trying to answer the question, what is spiritual maturity? Well, let me try to make just one simple statement. Spiritual maturity is putting Christ first. So our aim in family with young people is to guide them and direct them and mold them so they put Christ first in decisions. And they put Christ first in behavior. And of course, for that to be happening, it has to be true of the parents. Not perfectly, but as a reasonable example of spiritual maturity. So they are taught this and they catch this. Arrows are like children, need to be made carefully, shaped, and molded. And so that their decisions and behavior is going toward the target of spiritual maturity in decisions and behavior. Now, with regard to behavior, there is, first of all, a behavior that is, quote, natural. That is, it comes out of the sin nature of man. It is a sort of a natural instinct. And there the philosophy is, if it feels good, do it. That's how you live. That's how behavior is determined by many people. It's just natural. What is natural to the sin nature, which revolves around me. Whatever I want to do, I do. Whatever feels good to me, I do. Now that's how many young people are being taught to live. A second level of behavior is social. What will all the other people are doing? All the other kids are doing. So it's judged by what society is doing. That is unacceptable to us. A third level is moral, where people operate by what conscience they have. And some good things come out of that, but it has no eternal or spiritual value. A fourth level of behavior pertains to us as believers. What is acceptable behavior for a Christian family? Well, you get into all kinds of variables and certain cultural things, but we have a guideline scripturally as to what kind of behavior should be taught in our family, how to build a family. Probably three questions we all need to ask whether we are adults or young people. First of all, does this behavior, will this be a vital part of my Christian witness? How does this help my testimony? We ask that question. Secondly, how does this behavior glorify God? And thirdly, while I am engaged in this behavior, can I be thankful? Can I be giving a prayer of thanksgiving while I am involved in this behavior? And with those guidelines, it will be very helpful to us. And parents need to teach these levels of behavior as in contrast to the Christian level of behavior, and learn to ask these questions and thus build a family. Now, when they're out of the childhood stage and we're into teenagers, young people, and this thing comes up of tension between responsibility and freedom and authority and freedom, it happens in every family. Children grow up. Young people want freedom, are emerging as adults. And just how parents handle that is a very, very crucial, vital matter. No young person has ever done this perfectly. No parents have ever done this perfectly. But it does mean that parents better be aware and alert of what is happening and treat each child individually and work with them. Well, here's some help. Say from 12 years on, that the parents determine what responsibilities that young person needs and write them down and so show them. This is what is expected. This will be your work, whether it's taking out trash or whatever is determined. This is what your responsibility is. You write it down. And that's when you're age 12. And this is the kind of freedom you will have. You might be able to spend the night at a friend's house where there's proper supervision and so on. So there is that thing going on that the parents know about and the young person knows about. And then every year, you add responsibility and you add freedom. Now, if the responsibility isn't met, then you take away some of the freedom until the responsibility is met. And so at age 13, then you make a new list and show it to the young person, and this is what you will do, and this is what your responsibility will be this year, and you add a freedom. And then at age 14, 15, and 16, when you do the same thing, and then, of course, during the 14, 15 years, you have the idea of them being out at night in some way and coming back with a curfew time. And if they keep the curfew, then you can move that up. But if they miss, say they're due home at 11 o'clock, and they're late, significantly late, then you reduce it on them so that they understand that freedom involves responsibility. Now, the prodigal son left home. I want my freedom. And so he takes off. What he was avoiding was responsibility. And freedom never comes without responsibility. So I just encourage you parents to take care of this time of life in a very reasonable way, because there's frustration, there's turmoil, there's tension. And I had a mother say to me just recently that her 16-year-old son said, "Well, I think I ought to be able to make all my own decisions." Well, that's probably what most of us thought. And the parents understand that just cannot happen. That there needs to be a shaping and a molding and a training. And then they're launched. As an arrow is made to be launched. And children and young people are given to parents a time to be launched. And we want to launch them out into the world with spiritual maturity, so that their decisions and their behavior complement spiritual maturity. Building a family is the main business of Christian people. We may have jobs, we may have careers, we may have recreation, all down the line in priority. The main thing we have in life is to build a Christian family. Now, the writer of the Psalms brings up several interesting things here, not only as an arrow, but he says in verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." So you could leave out heritage and you understand that children are from the Lord. What a gift that is. And what a truth that is. They are from the Lord. Out of him to parents who are trustees of that child. God is trusting us with the child that comes from his creation to take care of that child for a time for him. So here is this word heritage, though. Children are a heritage from the Lord. What's a heritage? Well, we know it has to do with descendants, families, generation to generation. They are a heritage from the Lord. I think of my heritage. You think of yours as far back as you can in your family tree. And here we are. Now, we are going to live on this earth for a time. And it's very temporary, I can tell you that. that even a full life here of 90, 100 years is very, very short. Now, who is going to carry on? Who's going to take care of your family heritage, your Christian spiritual heritage? Well, it'll be your children. So how are your children going to carry it on? It's Christianity is passed from generation to generation. Now, the mass evangelism has a place, but the real evangelism is in the home. Parents to children, to grandchildren, to their grandchildren. That's how it goes. Now, there is a verse in Judges that is one of the most tragic things you'll ever read. It says this: there arose another generation who knew not the Lord, because that generation above those children was involved in idolatry. They'd taken on the foreign gods, and they weren't teaching the children the word of God. There arose another generation who knew not the Lord. That is scary. Now, in our Thursday night Bible study, Mike Mendelson led the study, and he had us write out five things that we worry about. So we all wrote them out and we shared. And I'd say the most significant thing was shared by David. I want to thank you again, David, for sharing that with us. David said he was worried about his generation, the people he's rubbing shoulders with at school and neighborhood, seeing how lost they were, how empty they were. And his concern was, if these are the kind of people that are going to be running our nation and taking over, it'll be a scary time. He said, I am worried about my generation. What a great thing. And so we need to be concerned about the generation that follows us and what we're doing about building a family with the target of spiritual maturity. It is not enough to teach children to sing, to hit a ball or kick a ball or whatever we do with it. That's a very low priority. The top thing is to teach spiritual maturity so that our generation follows. And Paul said this to Timothy: what you have learned, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, so that it follows. And we have great-grandparents, and we have grandparents, and we have parents and children, and those who follow them. That's the crux of Christianity. That's what it means to build a family, that we are involved in the building process of a good foundation, and so they can carry on. Now, this psalm begins with the thought, unless the Lord does it. Or another word is except. That's an absolute. Unless the Lord is doing this through the parents, it is all in vain. Spinning wheels. Now, I've been stuck enough in mud or whatever to have had the experience of spinning wheels, at least that way. And that the more you spin, the deeper you go. And you need something solid underneath that wheel. I remember when I was in the Philippines and we had rain. Oh, rain, and the mud was awful. the sticky kind of mud that sticks on your boots and it makes it very heavy. Well, we built a camp, and the roads were not too wide, but they had to be higher in the middle and slope off so the rain would run off in the ditch. And sure enough, almost every morning it was raining, this one lieutenant would be slipped off the road on the side in the ditch in his Jeep. And as I came by, I was driving a personnel carrier, a little bigger than the Jeep, and I pulled him out of that ditch many times because he was spinning his wheels. And so in our life, let's not keep digging a hole, spinning our wheels by missing the target. Our behavior, our decisions must be aimed at spiritual maturity. Give your life to that, parents. Make that top priority. If not, it's all futile. Now, you may say to me, well, Bill, I know some families that they're not even Christian. And they have a decent life. And I agree with you. In fact, you can take the Mormon Church. Their big thing is building family. And they do some good things there. But I'll tell you this, it's all futile. And it's all in vain because it's not developing spiritual maturity. It's a good thing at a human level, but there's nothing eternal and there's no spiritual value because it's done at a human level. So what we're talking about is a very unique thing. Only a true Christian believer can be involved in Psalm 127 in building a Christian family with the target of spiritual maturity by shaping and molding and working together to build spiritual maturity so that we launch youth with spiritual maturity to make decisions and to live so that they too can build Christian families. That's what our life is about. Now, how can we be assured that that will happen? Well, we can't have any perfect guarantee. But we can understand that as we give attention to the Word of God and as we are alert as to what's happening and we are prayerful people, we can have confidence that the children and the young people God has given us will carry on that faith to the next generation. It requires attention, our giving it our best. Now, I notice, Faye and I don't talk about this out of, quote, success. I can speak to you out of failure. And then, by God's grace, overcoming them. But I notice this, that some parents don't even know where their children are or who they are with. As you raise your family and when they are young people, know who they are with and where they are. Now, you can't do this perfectly, but you can try. And the stories we hear from Tim and Becky and Debbie about where they really were, I'm glad we didn't know at the time. But you try. And God overcomes and come out graciously, and we couldn't be more thankful. Another personal thing that developed when we sensed that there were some friendships or influences coming into their lives, people we didn't really approve, where you couldn't demand that they don't see We prayed against them. We had the fellow that built our house had a chaplain for it. That was my prayer path. I wore out the cane on the shuffleboard, praying against whom I thought to be enemies of my young people. And God answered those prayers and removed them one way or another without me trying to do my thankful stuff. Also, on the other side of it, we prayed for help. Parents need help. And so we prayed for God to bring people into our lives and their lives that would be helpful and would help build spiritual maturity. And He did that. We thank God for every Sunday school teacher, every person who works with young people, and all the churches we've been in which have helped us tremendously. Parents need help. Don't fail to call for prayer and to go to people who can help you build a family. Praise God. And His grace covers it all. You know, we live in a scary time. This is scary. You presently have a much more difficult time than my parents. Society was not at such a low level. Now, my father died when I was about 9. And my mother had 5 young people. But it wasn't like today. So you could look at what's happening out there and be too frank. Except when we look at this and know depend on the Lord, and that by His grace He sees us through. And we here have great families. I don't know of a father or a mother here who does not have a heart for God to be a great father and a great husband, a great wife and a great mother, and to build great families. And we need to help and encourage each other and bless your heart. You look to the grace of God to bring you through, and He will do it. And so I thought it would be good for us this morning to consider this great truth of building a family with a reason and a purpose, not to go through the motion and routine of every day, but to have the wonderful aim and goal and target of spiritual maturity. I would like to just share one thing personal from the retreat. Not about me, but it's about Jesse. And you can talk. Is in the business of building families. We are His servants. He will do it. Praise His name. Father in heaven, thank You that we could use that word, Father, in the greatest sense of the meaning of that truth. We thank You, Lord God Almighty, that You are our Father, and that You are committed to us, and that You have given us children and young people who come from You, who are to be arrows in our hands. And so we thank You that we don't do this alone, and it isn't just relying upon ourselves, but we look to You. Lord, I pray for us as a church, that the testimony of Christian family life will be among us and will reach out to those who also need help. Bless Psalm 127 and the truth to it to our hearts just now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.